You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is hour two of Miller and Moulton. Thanks so much for being with us. We're in a couple of new places, Huntsville and Jacksonville, to go along with Southwest Florida and Lake City. Thanks so much for being with us. Miller and Moulton, millerandmoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. Our poll question, and we encourage you. I mean, we don't browbeat you, but we encourage you to, vote. You know, we'd like to see the number of votes add up. Triple digits makes us happy. And so what's your level of confidence in your favorite team's NFL front office? You know, they're picking players for your team in a little over 72 hours. We're just curious, what's your level of confidence? And I think, by the way, and Mark, you don't really have, you know, a diehard NFL team.
No, but I'm from Michigan. So the Lions are a team, and then my wife's from Pittsburgh, and the Steelers are her team. I have extreme confidence in both of those organizations to draft well.
Right, and I'm a Giants fan, so of course I have no confidence that they're going to do the right thing, even though they've won four Super Bowls. That seems like it was 30 years ago. So that's our poll question. That Mark Miller, the David Moulton on X, and Miller_Moulton on X. Vote accordingly. But I'm just curious. Play along at home. Mark, we talk to a lot of people. That's the beauty about being based in Florida. You know, 70%+ of the people aren't from here, so they're fans of all the teams in the NFL. And we run into them, and we get texts from them, and we talk to them. What do you think the level of confidence is a Bears fan?
If we were to do it percentage-wise, you know, I mean, you know, 100% being extremely confident, 0% being where the Bears fan is, they're at about 3%, David. I don't know. And I mean, literally, it's so funny you say that because the group I play golf with, there's a bunch of Illinois natives. And they, doesn't matter, they think Caleb Williams is going to be a bust, not because they think Caleb Williams is a bad player, but because the Chicago Bears are drafting him.
Oh, wait, we're taking him? He's going to suck.
He's going to be a bust. Because we'll screw it up.
Can't you spin it with Bears fans and go, okay, so you got Trubisky wrong. You took him 8 spots ahead of Mahomes. We'll try not to bring that up ever again. Okay, so you traded up for Justin Fields. Okay, that's all right. You took a shot. Okay, so now you keep going. Come on, all you have to do is be right once.
And it changes generations of fans' opinion of that front office. And I mean, we see it every morning with our producer, Trent.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's almost disgusting to have a Lions fan this confident and this happy. I mean, seriously, when's the last time this was the case? 1957?
Not in my lifetime.
Right. And he's just like, oh, Brad Holmes, we trust. Whoever he takes, going to be a great player. Great player. Done.
We're going to coach him up because we've got Dan Campbell. So it doesn't matter. They'll just get better.
The Lions got ripped for drafting Jahmyr Gibbs at 12.
Oh, yeah.
Ripped.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Whole line. Right. They took everybody half a round too high last year. How'd that work out? I've never understood that. Well, they took him too early. Is he a good player or not? Isn't the object to draft good players? Does it matter where they draft them? Man, really? But here's the funny thing, Mark. What organization has been the worst organization in the NFL over the last 25 years? I'd nominate Washington. Daniel Snyder, right? I mean, a year ago at this time, he still owned the team. How many organizations were worse run during his 25-year tenure than his?
It's hard to name one.
Right. It really is.
And I don't just mean in the NFL.
Okay,
no, I'm being serious. It's one of the worst run organizations in sports over the last quarter century.
So now they're picking second. Have you run into a Washington fan? You want to talk about, I mean, they were terrible last year. Technically, the first year of new ownership. Oh, man. Commanders fan, all in. These guys can't do anything wrong. Got the Commanders fan going, did you see? They brought in 4 quarterbacks, went to Top Golf. Isn't that cool? They're all in. We're going to probably take Jaden Daniels. He's going to be awesome. Why? Because we're taking him.
Even though he doesn't want to play for you.
Maybe not. Maybe he was a little offended by the Top Golf thing. Like, what the heck? Now, here's the funny thing. It was not that long ago, right, in Bill We Trust? Ask a Patriots fan. So what's your level of confidence in the organization? Best run franchise in American sports over the last 20-something years, right? I mean, number of titles. Nobody's got more titles, right? They had more titles than the Spurs. Started around the same time. Spurs in 99, Patriots in 01. They won more titles than the Spurs. You know, they got more than the, name it, Astros, Yankees.
Golden State.
Yeah, hey, name it. I mean, the only franchise got more titles might be Alabama. I mean, here's the funny thing, just how hope springs eternal. You ask, first off, if you can find an Arizona Cardinals fan, congratulations. But secondly, if you do, they're even confident. Oh, we got 11 picks. Okay, I like the new coach. They played hard for him last year. Seems like a good guy. We can't do anything wrong at number four. If we trade, we're going to get a bunch of resources. Can't go wrong there. Or we're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. Can't go wrong. Can't screw this up. Then, of course, if you find an Arizona Cardinals fan, you might actually find an LA Chargers fan.
Ooh.
Close.
Ooh. Do they have any fans? And I mean, because they really gave the double middle bird to San Diego, where all of their fans were. And none of their fans followed them to L.A.
They started to, and then they stopped. They said, no, come to think of it, we're done. Mm-hmm. But this Harbaugh guy, he's living in a van, not down by the river, but he is. He's living in the van. He, you know, tattooed up. Hell, there are rumors they're going to trade Justin Herbert. Trade Herbert to the Vikings and take McCarthy. I'd empty a bank account to have him do that. I really would.
Boy, would that be something.
That'd be so great.
I told y'all he was the best quarterback in the draft, and I'm taking him.
Yep. So, but that's the beauty of this draft. Hell, Jets fans think they can't screw it up. Well, we'll take a tackle or Brock Bowers. Either way, we're good. You know, what if you pick the wrong tackle?
Right. And if Aaron really wants a tight end, we'll give him the tight end, because whatever Aaron wants, he gets.
Right. Now, if he could just stay off Joe Rogan's show, he's getting a little weird, but okay.
A little weird? He passed a little weird several years ago.
Just fans are like, I really don't care at this point. Just could you please win us a playoff game, please? In fact, there's a joke. All right, going around on X this morning. All right, in the last 13 years, the number of times that a team named the Jets has scored 7 or more points / goals, Winnipeg twice, New York nothing. I'm sorry. It was too easy. Had to take it. So anyway, that's the beauty of this time of year and just how, we're nuts as fans. We're crazy, honestly. Arizona Cardinals fans think they can't screw it up. What? Washington Commanders fans think you can't screw it up. What?
But to your point, David, first text we got this morning was from a Pats fan that says not confident at all in Pats front office. Steeler fan, somewhat confident as a Steeler fan. Pleasantly surprised how aggressive they've been in the offseason, and it was needed.
Yeah, Omar Khan there twice last 2 years, been very aggressive. I'm curious, how would that Steelers fan feel if they trade up from like 20 to 12 and get a wide receiver? Because I think if Brian Thomas Jr. falls and they think they can get within a half a dozen or so picks, I think they'll trade up for a wideout. They're all in on this Russell Wilson, Justin Fields thing. The other thing which is amazing, Mark, is that if you look at the amount of money the Steelers spend on their defense, number one in the league. No front office has spent more money on their defense than the Steelers. You look at the amount of money they've spent on their offense, they're like 27th. So, I mean, it shouldn't be a surprise why one unit's far superior to the other, right?
Not at all. And they're going to have to build the other side through the draft and the cheapest quarterback that they could get.
So, if I was a Steelers fan, if we're investing in offensive players, I'm all in. We've invested on the other side.
But you can still be in the 20s in offense because you've got your quarterback for a song right now.
Right. So, got three teams that don't have first-round pick. Got Arizona and Minnesota and Chicago, who have two first-round picks. I'm fired up. We are doing a live broadcast the night of the draft on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/MillerandMolton.
It's an experience unlike any other draft show out there. The two hosts take it very seriously up until the point when one host switches from beer to brown liquor, and then he goes off the rails. That would be me.
He still takes it seriously. The problem is once he switches to the hard stuff, he can't remember all the names. And so the one or two that he remembers, he just keeps yelling out, "They should take Chop Robinson!" And I have to go, "They took him six picks ago. Chop!" Okay, that'll be enough of a mark. So, you know, kind of like they talk about, you know, certain places in the draft, 22 and a half is the spot in the draft. Has Mark gone to the hard stuff over or under 22 and a half in the draft?
Well, and that's right around when all the Florida teams will start picking, too. I mean,
right. Dolphins 21. Yeah. Jacksonville, though, 17.
Right.
They underachieved. So you should be okay for the Jags pick. Dolphins, that's true. That could be right around go time.
It will be. In fact, that's what I'm going to try to shoot for. I'll switch to the Brown right when the Dolphins make their pick.
But, folks, we actually take the draft very seriously. We do a lot of looking ahead in the draft. Okay, you want to watch those network shows? They'll tell you about who just got drafted. Yeah, whatever. We're past that now. We're moving on. We're moving on to the next guy and three teams ahead. And is so-and-so going to fall to them? And so we do the draft differently.
Based on how the runs of players go and what positional groups go, trying to let you know how the draft will unfold, because you've got a slew of tackles, you've got a slew of wide receivers, and you don't have a lot of defense in this draft at the top end, particularly at the edge.
The Molly Made Play of the Day with Trent Bally is coming up next on Miller and Moulton.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
John Forslund, the best hockey play-by-play guy going, is going to join us in a little more than 15 minutes' time. We'll talk some Stanley Cup playoffs. Mark, we're in Huntsville and Jacksonville as of this morning.
Hello.
Hello. But with the quality of this show, we don't know how long it's going to last. So we have to cater to those two markets while we still have them. You know, we mentioned Miles Russell, the 15-year-old from Jacksonville Beach. You know, we'll have some Jags guests coming up later on this week, you know, previewing what they're going to do in the draft. Well, what are we going to do, you know, for Huntsville? Huntsville, how do we cater to Huntsville? Well, Birmingham's 100 miles away. All right. You know, the Stallions, the UFL, right? So here's my problem. I don't know all the teams' names. At least I don't think I do. And so when you go to certain websites and you look for scores, they don't list like Birmingham, Houston, you know, Memphis. They list them by team name. Like Showboats lost to the Battlehawks. Oh, man. I know the Battlehawks is St. Louis. A.J. McCarron turned down going back to the NFL. He wants to stay in St. Louis, play spring ball, let his kids watch him play, the whole deal. Okay. He and they are doing well. The Stallions beat the Defenders. Well, I know Birmingham's the Stallions. The only reason I know the Defenders are D.C. is because literally their logo is next to it. And it's a big D with a little C in the middle of it. Now, I'm not very smart, but I took a stab that they were the D.C. Defenders, and I was right. Now, the Brahmas beat the Panthers. because of you two, I've been educated about the whole Michigan Panthers phenomenon. And because we talked about what a weird name the Brahmas is, I knew that that was San Antonio. The Roughnecks and the Renegades played yesterday. I got nothing.
Hmm. The Roughnecks and the Renegades, huh?
Yes. The Roughnecks beat the Renegades 17-9.
The Roughnecks are from Houston.
Why, of course they are.
And the Renegades are from Arlington. So big Texas battle. Dallas. Right.
So that was the Houston-Dallas battle.
I thought okay. You'd be better off just mentioning that Alabama played their spring game last weekend.
Well, yeah, I could have. And here's the and Nick, of course, was in the attendance. Nobody wanted to hear from Kalen DeBoer. Okay, but we made sure that we had our interview with Nick. Nick looked great, by the way. He's in a suit. Okay, the dye job of the hair. He looked good. He looked young. He looked like he's been golfing.
Boating, golfing, that's what he's going to do now. Yes.
He looks really good. Alabama fans are secretly thinking, can he just enjoy the rest of the summer but come back in August? We'll pay Kalen DeBoer to just step to the side, okay? Just let him, you know, so he needs a summer vacation. At his age, we understand. Just as long as he comes back. He's coming back, right?
No. No, he's not.
I know. It really seems as if he's not. All right. So there you go. So at least on Mondays, Mark, okay, we're going to have the UFL weekend scoreboard. I mean, if I gave ECHL playoff scores for the, you know, Florida hockey teams, at least I could do is go with the UFL scores. Besides, the UFL is apparently getting the same ratings as the NHL.
Yes, they are. We'll see what the difference is with the NHL starting their playoffs. But the last few weekends, the NHL and the UFL have been drawing the same numbers on TV.
Exactly. Because, you know, Birmingham Stallions or Sidney Crosby and the Penguins. It's about even, apparently. So before we get to the Molly Maid play of the day, I have a question. So we've talked about, you know, when I travel with Troy Aikman and Joe Buck's got his stats guy and his spotter. His stats guy is Ed Sfida. He's based out of Philadelphia. He is a just tried and true Philadelphia sports fan. But he loves Villanova. And I found out this weekend just how much. He's rooting for the Knicks over the Sixers.
Wow.
Because of Jalen Brunson, DiVincenzo, and Josh Hart.
Yeah, I know the reasons why, but
right. And
the
and
Philadelphia
I said to him,
76ers. If they win this series and can keep Embiid somewhat healthy, who knows how deep they can go in this postseason.
I said to him, I go, you're going to lose your Philadelphia sports fan card. He goes, oh, no. Trust me, we love Villanova. I will say, met his wife at Villanova. He loves Villanova. I mean, Villanova's a close second to the Eagles. He loves Villanova. But I'm just wondering, is that allowed? Or is he violating all the rules?
In Philadelphia? I don't think he could say that out loud to too many people. In fact, I think word's going to get back to Philadelphia, and someone may egg his home.
So he, of course, wants it to be a poll. He texted me. He said, hey, can that be one of your poll questions? I go, so you want to be our poll question? He's like, yeah. So I was just going to poll the two of you. Is what he is doing understandable or a complete violation of the fan code?
Could there be a little element of it's the Knicks and they haven't been good in forever?
Yeah, but the Sixers haven't won in 40 years either.
I get it, but, you know, I mean, if you're not...
Are you a Philly sports fan or not?
Trent, it's New... This is the equivalent of you rooting for a team in Wisconsin. This is New York and Philadelphia. They're connected by I-95.
Then it is absolutely not acceptable.
And this would be, you know, this would have been last year... You rooting, you're a Michigan State grad like I am. This would have been you rooting for the Vikings against your Lions because Kirk Cousins was the quarterback.
Right, which would never happen.
Exactly.
Now, but there's got now you
well,
there,
I know
though.
There'd have to be a couple more players on there.
And Cousins and those Spartans will have led you to a championship. See, that's his thing. He's like, these guys won me two natties, two. Not just one, they won me two. And they did it in the last 8 years. He goes, I'm still in love with them.
So you can still be in love with them, but not root for the New York Knicks against the Philadelphia 76ers.
But he, as he tweets out, it's the Villanova Knicks over the Philadelphia 76ers. That's in his mind.
Do they play in Madison Square Garden?
Listen, I think it's a complete violation, and I think he should be kicked out of town or jailed. But he... I was just wondering if what he's doing allowed.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
All right. I'm with you. I was shocked. And I did text him, fourth quarter, tight game. And I go, okay, who are you rooting for? And he goes, I'm rooting for the Knicks. I'm like, OMG.
That's something.
I know.
Hopefully this will be something, too. It's our Molly Made Play of the Day. Trent, what do you have for us?
You know, there's a good chance that we go to the Florida Battle in the Stanley Cup playoffs every shot we get here. The Lightning at Panthers for game one yesterday. Panthers won at 3-2. They did get an empty netter. Here's Doug Plagans on the call for their power play go-ahead goal.
He's got it on the end board, shuffles it out to the right point for Hagee there. Out of the far circle, Barkov at a sharp angle. Barkov looks around up front. They score! They score! It was tapped home! Carter Verhaeghe on the back door! And the Panthers take a 2-1 lead! 58 seconds into the third! A power play goal!
Verhaeghe the hero, and the Panthers take a 1-0 lead in this highly anticipated series. And there's your Molly Made play of the day.
How he was that open on that play is beyond me. No one picked up Verhaeghe, skated all the way from the left point around the ice, come out on the right side on the back door, was wide open. No one picked him up, skated basically the entire offensive zone.
I thought he did a figure eight, and it was pretty. As pretty as the pass from Barkov right on his stick in the crease.
And that is our Molly Made play of the day. Call Molly Made today if you're looking for someone to clean your house. 239-774-5839, 239-774-5839, and be sure to tell them Miller and Moulton sent you.
John Forslund, the best hockey play-by-play guy going, will join us to talk pucks next. John Harris, in about an hour, we'll talk more NFL draft. Text the show at 21,000. And if you're listening for the first time in Huntsville and Jacksonville, thanks for checking us out. Give us a sample. Miller and Moulton.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes before the hour, 1 hour from now, John Harris to preview the NFL draft. Welcome, Huntsville and Jacksonville, to the show. We are Miller and Moulton, millerandmoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. He is the best at broadcasting hockey for a living. He is John Forslund. He is the television voice of the Seattle Kraken. You hear him do the Stanley Cup playoffs on TNT and Turner, and then you can also listen to him do conference finals and finals on Sports USA Radio. Follow John on X at John Forslund, Forslund. John, it's David and Mark. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, boys. Good morning. How are you?
Well, we are great, although we are surprised, John. I mean, home teams, I know it's a small sample size, but home teams 6-0 so far, we're a little surprised.
Yeah, that defies the logic, doesn't it? You'd think you'd squeak out a couple of road wins here by somebody. A couple of close calls, a couple of games that, you know, stretched out a little bit. By and large, not a bad start to the playoffs, but, you know, we're all for long series. So I'm sure that these game twos will be vital for the teams that lost, and we'll see where it all goes.
Let's start with the Battle of Florida. The Panthers, if they can play 5-on-5, we think, John, are going to be a really tough team to beat in this postseason. They managed to play the majority of the game 5-on-5 against the Lightning, and they get the win, really taking out the Tampa Bay's top line. Barkov's line against the Kucherov line, the Barkov line won in game one.
Yeah, well, Alexander Barkov is so elite at so many areas of the game, and especially areas of the game that are vitally important in the playoffs. This player is a strong defensive player, as we know. He should be a perennial Selke nominee for the top defensive forward, but he's a great player offensively too. So this is a real chore for Tampa Bay to figure out and for Florida to stick with. And, you know, a lot of people will make a big deal about Tampa Bay's power play, which is unbelievable and was the entire regular season. But when you get in a playoff series and a coaching staff can game plan, you know, for a two-week period against the same power play, if you're relying on the power play to be your key, that's hard. So I'm sure John Cooper's not looking at it that way. He's looking at ways to beat Florida 5-on-5 because you want timely power play goals, but Paul Maurice will have an answer at some point. And then you get to Bobrovsky. And if he continues to play as it is, and if the goalie matchup is a wash in the series, I like the Panthers. I mean, the Panthers are, and I have felt for most of the season, although this season kind of went in spurts, where for two-week stretches, the Rangers were the best. Carolina was the best. Florida was the best in the East. They took turns at being the top team. I think Florida, by and large, man for man, has the best roster, the best style of play. Their physical presence is suited for the playoffs. I like their chances.
Well, you mentioned Carolina, and I know you did their game one against the Islanders. John, mm-hmm. I think they might be the toughest out in the East, but I just worry they don't have enough scoring. Do you think they've acquired enough around Aho that they can get that extra goal this year?
Well, the key is Jake Guentzel, right? So Jake Guentzel, acquired from Pittsburgh at the deadline, has always been money in the playoffs. So if Jake plays the way he has throughout his career, he's going to be a great fit for Aho. Aho's the guy, though. Aho, for me, for this team to go all the way and win it, Sebastian Aho might have to win the Conn Smythe as the playoff MVP. He's going to have to lift his line mates. Now, Carolina has a little bit of an issue. They have to figure out who the third member of that line is. They started Saturday night with Seth Jarvis, who had a 30-goal season. He's a young player. He's a terrific player, great competitor. As the game wore on, they kind of moved him around the lineup. He ended up playing with Jordan Staal a little bit near the end of the game, which is where he played most of the season. But the key is, you know, who's going to move up there? Is it Andrei Svechnikov, who they didn't have in the playoffs last year? Now, he's supposed to be a superstar scorer, and he's still young, and I get all of that, and he's battled injuries. He took a bad offensive zone penalty again in game one. That's been a thing for him throughout his career. He comes off his discipline. He's going to have to stay straight-lined in this series, and he's going to have to get the goal scoring. If he does, that's going to help, because I think you hit it on the head. I think they do have an issue there, and they're a skills-based team, too. And what I mean by this is they rely on their skill, and that drives their team. Other teams rely, sure, they get to their skill, but if you look at Florida, they'll play gritty, too. I like that. I mean, I'm old school. You guys know that. I still think that one in the conference final last year for Florida over Carolina, it was their physical play, and Carolina didn't have a pushback for that. The Canes have to show me that. I don't know where that is. I haven't seen it all season. I don't see it right now. They're an excellent team. And as we know, they're the odds-on favorite to win the Stanley Cup. But that's a big part of playoff hockey, and we'll see how that plays out.
The other series that started on Saturday, the Leafs had just nothing for the Bruins. And, you know, you mentioned the teams in the East. The Bruins, after last year, kind of sitting in the weeds, it might be a good spot for them, John.
I think it is. I think, obviously, it was too much for them last year, right? So you're absolutely right about that. And so now the Bruins come in with a chip on their shoulder. Probably if they lose in the first round, I'm just going to speculate here, maybe, you know, Jim Montgomery, who's a great coach, they don't waste any time in Boston. If they go out in round one, there might be a coaching change there. So you got that pressure. But from the goal out, the Bruins are exceptional. It'll be interesting to see who he goes to tonight. I'm in the camp of staying with Jeremy Swayman. He has had an incredible record against Toronto. I don't think you want to just stick with a rotation because you've done that. I think, you know, you keep the guy who Toronto feels maybe they can't beat psychologically and ride it until it's proven otherwise. The Leafs are a mess. They can easily snap out of it. But they, too, what I mean by a mess is psychologically, they have a lot of pressure, again. I'm sure there'll be wholesale changes there if the Leafs lose in round one. So tonight is the game I'm really watching. This is going to be, there's so much pressure, not as much, obviously, on the Bruins, but Toronto's got it all tonight. So that's why when you get to the second game, it's not the entire series, but it certainly means a lot. And Toronto might have their season on the line tonight, you know, before they get back home.
You mentioned, for those that don't know, and we're talking with John Forslund. He does the Seattle Kraken. He's the television voice. He does the Stanley Cup playoffs on Turner and also on Sports USA Radio. But entering the playoffs anyway, you had two elite teams in Boston and Carolina, right, who had gone to pretty much a goalie rotation throughout the year. And they could, in theory, still do this, right? John, a team hasn't done this and won the Cup really since the Bruins, I think, in the early 70s.
Yeah.
Do you think you can do a goalie rotation in the playoffs?
Yep, the Bruins were, you harken back to my youth, and I love it. The Bruins were the last team, 1972, against the New York Rangers, Eddie Johnston, Jerry Cheevers. And they stuck with an alternating system, and they won the Cup because they had the best team. And in this situation, you know, Carolina has a great team. The Bruins have a great team. The NHL is a different league, though, than it was, you know, back in the day. Back in those days, there wasn't parity like we see now. So we do have excellent teams in the NHL in this generation. But the line between a Florida and Tampa Bay is fine. A line between Carolina, maybe not so much the Islanders, but the Islanders pushed hard in game one. It's be interesting to watch tonight. It's still there. So you look at the Western Conference, it's crazy. So, you know, there's great teams that go home every year after 2 weeks now. And just relying on an alternating system, because that's what you do in the regular season, I don't know if that's the case, but I'll tell you this. If you have two guys, if you have two goalies, it's a coaching weapon because the other side has a game plan for two. They have to expect two. And then if your coach has the ability to swing a series by changing the goalie, swing the momentum, that's an option that some teams don't have. You know, Vancouver really, we saw last night, Thatcher Demko was outstanding for the Canucks. Sure, Casey DeSmith played some hockey this year because Demko was injured. But that's not the option for Vancouver. They're not going to want to go to the second goalie. They go to the second goalie, it's trouble. The Bruins go to the second goalie. That's the order of the day. Carolina, they can do the same thing. The Islanders can do it. Varlamov, you know, took over the net, 8-1-1 in his last 10 games, won his last five in a row. So he's the starter in game one for the Islanders. But Ilya Sorokin is one of the best goalies in the league, right? And he's next. So when you look at the Islanders, Patrick Waugh, he knows the position better than anybody. He has that option. That's interesting for some of these coaches to have it in their back pocket. Colorado, it's Alexander Georgiev or go home. And it looks like they may go home because of it.
Well, and I wanted to get to that series because, boy, if you'd have told Colorado they were going to put a six-pack up last night, they never in a million years would have thought they would have lost. They've got to be reeling after that game, don't they, John?
Yes, because, you know, the regular season does mean a great deal. And it's real hard for teams to flip switches when they get to the playoffs and automatically become who they think they are. In this case, that's what's going on with Colorado. Obviously, a great team. For my money, I think Nathan MacKinnon is the MVP this year. But that's a great debate that you can't lose because whoever wins is justified. So you have that in play. But Georgiev really faltered at the end of the regular season, lost his confidence, it appears. The team doesn't have a lot of confidence. They don't have a second option in goal. You get to this situation right now, they're playing a really sleepy, great team in Winnipeg. And Winnipeg is the team that's great, that doesn't really have the pressure of the expectation. So they're in a driver's seat in that aspect of it all. Is Colorado good enough to beat them? Yes. I'm on the series. I'll be out in Denver for game three. Eddie O and I have that game on Friday night. So I'm really anxious to get to the Mile High City and see what this looks like. Because yesterday, 7-6 was a lot of fun for us to watch. The coaches are obviously not happy with it, both coaches. They'll try and lock it down better because Winnipeg has a great defensive system and the best goalie in the game today in Connor Hellebuck. So this series should adjust. I don't know if Colorado can keep it out of the net. That's a bad position to be in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
And finally, John, out west, the Stars are the one seed, and for their efforts, they get the defending cup champions who, amazingly, when the playoffs start, are starting to get guys healthy again in the Golden Knights. This is a hell of a first-round series because it was the conference final last year.
Yes, and Eddie Olczyk and I will have that game Saturday night. So we're excited about where we're going. We can't wait to get there. That series is a double-edged sword because it's great because it's now. It's too bad for hockey. It's not later. But again, that's the way the playoff system works. So a great team leaves after round one. Vegas obviously loaded up at the trading deadline. They have a healthy Tomas Hertl. Be interesting to see how he fits in their lineup. Mark Stone, we could argue whether this is right or wrong with the long-term injury situation, but they did it again. You know, until proven otherwise or they adjust the rules, you can shelf a player that has an injury, keep him out, work your salary cap, bring him back in the playoffs, and he's an elite player and their captain. They're going to do that again, so it appears that he's healthy. Vegas, again, will have issues in goal. They've had some injuries there. Logan Thompson, who was brilliant last year, at the beginning of the year, then Aiden Hill took over in the second half and was the goalie for the Stanley Cup playoffs and the eventual Cup win. Hill hasn't been great. Thompson's been a little bit better. It looks like Thompson will be the starting goalie, but that's not a lock. You know, that in the position, the way it's been played this year, hasn't been a lock either. That's been their weakness. Dallas, for me, guys, is the team. I really like how deep they are. I like there's a lot of things going on with this group. They have scoring depth. They've got some really good young players that support their older players offensively. They have a really strong decor, and they have Jake Ottinger in goal, and he's the goods. So, and an excellent coach in Peter DeBoer. Great series. Again, I see the West a ton, and Dallas, for me, was the best team in the West this season. I can't wait to see them attempt to do that because that's a group that's aching to – they went a long way last year. They went to third round last year and beaten by Vegas. So there's a burn there and a hatred between the two teams, which is always good in the playoffs.
No doubt. He's John Forslund, the television voice of the Seattle Kraken. He'll be doing the Stanley Cup playoffs on TNT and Turner and then on Sports USA Radio. John, safe travels. All the best. Thanks for your time.